appreciate it. So I've been sober for 148 days now. So thank you. But before all that, I was kind of a train wreck. I'm sure some of you can relate to that. Goes back to my wee childhood back in Colorado. Grew up in a very small mountain town. Not much to do besides play in the river and, you know, drink. So typical child options. But when I was first in school, I kind of tried to stay away from it. That was the very shy, reserved type. Didn't like to talk to people. Didn't really want to make friends. I kind of thought that my company was the best company. And for a while, that worked for me. And then I got a little bit older and realized that people were doing things that I weren't. They were going out on the weekends. They were talking to people. They were laughing and having fun. Things that I really wasn't doing. So I went out and I met friends and, well, acquaintances. They became friends once one of them offered me a drink. And whoever says they like tequila on the first try is a liar, just so everyone knows, even if you follow it with a lime. But that was my first actual go at alcohol, and it felt great from the get-go. Like, I was off to the races, nothing could stop me. And it took no time at all before I was, you know, driving drunk to parties every night after school, driving home drunk, and all this before my senior year in high school. I started a little bit late, but I made up for lost time. So then senior year started, and that was kind of where things got a little bit darker for me. My mom had to go in for brain surgery to have a tumor removed, and she and I were very close. And so that upset me because we didn't know if she was going to make it. And at that time, I got very depressed and upset, and I sought the comfort, of course, with good old Jose Cuervo, because he'd proven so useful over the past year. And I picked up, the drinking started happening before school, on breaks, and I actually got creative to the point that I could sneak it into classes, because I knew which teachers just really weren't paying attention, so I could get away with it. Then I just kind of stopped going to classes in general. I basically spent my whole senior year under the influence. I really don't remember much of it. I did end up throwing away an opportunity that I still kind of kick myself for to actually join a virology program at the University of New Mexico and study viruses and pandemics, which I find kind of, you know, fitting now, but is what it is. So I gave all that up for alcohol because I wasn't ready to say no to it yet. Then all my friends, they all went off to college or moved on because they all could do what I couldn't. They could control themselves. And so I stayed back in my small little mountain town, isolated, which led to more drinking, and finally was like, you know what, I don't have to stay here. So I did what any rational person would do, packed up and moved, you know, out of the country for 3 months to a resort they went to one time and thought they liked it and thought it was a good idea. So went down there for 3 months, worked as an entertainer at the resort, which was a lot of fun, met a lot of really cool people. Don't ask me about half the conversations because, again, I don't remember them. Drinking was very encouraged in that environment for the entertainment staff, which is exactly what I wanted at that point. I mean, free alcohol, free food, no room and board, like, it was great. It was a party for 3 months. Got home, and after the 3 months, and decided that I was going to start getting my life together. So, got my job, started working on my career. That's when I kind of labeled myself a professional alcoholic, because I was able to maintain composure when I went to work. I knew exactly how much I needed to drink every single night to kind of taper off on the jitters and anxiety, and enough to get me through to the lunch break the next day. And that worked for me in that environment, because at that bank, everyone else was pretty much suffering from the same problem. And at the time, we all joked that the church across the street was our go-to on lunch breaks because they hosted AA meetings, and the whole bank should just close at noon because we all had to go. And everyone thought that was really, really funny. And worked there for a while. The drinking got progressively worse, led to the panic attacks in the morning, further isolation. By that point, I was so isolated that I wasn't really going out to parties anymore. I wasn't doing the drunk driving or anything because I had the mindset that, hey, if I don't drive, I don't have to get a DUI. It didn't occur to me that if you don't drink, you can still drive. But, you know, logic. So I stopped going out, stopped making friends. I lived in a very small apartment and rarely left it. It was a block from work, so I could go to work. I could stumble to the bar right next door, and then I could stumble home. And that was a daily process. Then one of my friends, who I met at work, she and I got really close. And she was the first person I could kind of confide in, because she had a lot of similar issues. And we got really close, and we started doing things that got me out of the apartment. Kind of got me away from drinking for a little bit. Not enough entirely, of course, but I tapered back. Then she moved down here to Florida. And once again, I was by myself in Colorado. So went right back to the drinking, and then impulse control. I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to do what anyone would do in this situation. I'm just going to pack up and leave the problems behind me. So I got up, and then I came down here, and I moved to Florida. Sight unseen, had never been to Tampa. I only took my friend's word for it. Didn't have a job, didn't have anything lined up. All I knew is I had a place, a couch to crash on, and I had enough money in the bank account to keep the alcohol coming. And so that's how I lived for about 3 months down here in Tampa, living the party life, blowing through my savings, not really grasping the concept of the damage I was doing, not just to myself, but to all the relationships, not just in Colorado with the people that I left behind, like family who I never talked to anymore, but also to relationships I was trying to make down here, because I was building them on the pretense that I was this person who could go out and party every single day. I wanted to be the life of the party, and that's the image I conveyed to everyone. So then I ended up getting my job down here, again in banking. And I swear, not everyone in banking drinks on the job, guys, okay? I'm an exception to the rule. But came down here and started working at the bank. And shortly after, I met my first partner, an actual serious relationship. Looking back, it was probably not the healthiest of relationships. Not through any fault of his own, it was just it kept me in the environment that I was comfortable in, which was constant drinking. And with him and his friends group, that led to constant drinking and partying more in social settings, which got me out of the house, so that kind of kicked me into the more social alcoholic stage. And that is really when I lost myself, because I had gotten so wrapped up in the image of playing party host or the guy who could hold back no matter how much alcohol you threw at him. And I like to go by the professional alcoholic mantra. If you gave it to me, I could drink it and I could keep going. And gave that a good go for, you know, about 5.5 years. And then at that point, both my partner and I were pretty regular drinkers. Me definitely more so than him. And then, you know, that's when it got really, really, really bad. Because the mom who I was so close to, I had pushed her away when I moved. And in the course of my addiction, I'd stopped talking to her because I was afraid of how she would react. And so then I was talking to her one day, and she was having a hard time back home, so I sent her some money and kind of ignored a problem I knew was there. And then the next day, my sister called me and asked if my partner was home. And I said, no, he's not. What's going on? And she had told me that the night before, my mom had ended up committing suicide. And I did not take that news well, at all. The first thing I did, of course, was go to the bottle of vodka that I hid in my individual closet for my emergency supply, and hit that hard. My friend, who I'm luckily still friends with today, came up to me that same night, and I remember her looking at me and saying, I know you're hurting, and I know what your coping mechanisms are, and if you want to drink tonight, that's fine, but don't lose yourself in it. And that she left it at that. And of course, at that time, I was like, fine, I won't drink anymore tonight because you're judging me. And then what I do, went right back upstairs and drank when she wasn't looking. And that really didn't take much of the pain away. It just made me numb to it, and to me at that time, numb was better than, you know, feeling it. So I kept going, and it started spiraling worse and worse. And to the point that I couldn't get through the day. It was no longer the drink a lot at night, take a shot in the morning, and carry yourself over until lunch or when you got home. It was I had to maintain it throughout the entire course of the day. I actually would coordinate how many little alcohol shooter bottles I had to carry, like, in my socks or in my suit pockets. It could be a 100-degree day, and I would have to wear a full suit because I needed those extra pockets to hide the bottles in. So I would go to work, and throughout the course of the day, I would just maintain. Then it got to the point where my career started advancing still, and I had to start doing, like, presentations and stuff in front of groups of people, going to downtown meetings. And one of those meetings, I actually ended up having an alcohol withdrawal seizure at the meeting. One thing I learned, though, is over the course of my drinking, I'd learned how to lie. So I played it off well. Like, oh, I hadn't eaten breakfast because I was nervous and blood sugar, have issues with the family, and I played it off. And they bought it. Well, you can only have so many seizures before someone starts asking questions. So that was... At that point, I'd kind of given up, and I could sense that the end was in sight. There were whispers about me going around, and so I decided I was going to make an appointment to go to the doctor and figure out how to stop. Made the appointment, and was like, I'm going to go. It's going to be the end of it. Well, I did what any hardcore alcoholic would do the night before they're going to be told they stop drinking. They drink, and they drink hard. So I binged the night before my doctor's appointment, went to the appointment, and had a seizure in my car in the parking lot at the doctor's office. And I came to in the emergency room on my way into the ICU and was in the hospital for a couple of days. And that's when my sister came down from Colorado and my friend who talked to me the night of my mom's passing, and we decided that I needed to do something about this. So we checked myself into rehab. I was in there for 30 days, and that was good. Got out, and I went to IOP for 90 days, which was good. It was kind of hard for me coming out at first because I lost my relationship. I lost all my friends when I went to rehab, so I felt like I was really, really alone. And I fought through it for the 90 days for IOP. And when that was done, I felt I didn't have anything. So one of my friends advised me to try an AA meeting. And at first, I instant flashback, Colorado, noon club, not for me. But I went, and honestly, since I've been here, the fellowship has really got me through some challenging times since. I mean, they don't stop just because the booze stopped. So it really kind of opened my eyes, and I've branched out, and I've met a lot of really great people, and it's kind of taught me how to, as they say, deal with life on life's terms. And honestly, I can say that without the support of the group and the friends who actually did stand by me, I probably wouldn't be here today. So that's pretty much all I got. Thank you for letting me share.